for all of the great freedoms that form the basis of our American democracy are a part and a parcel of that concept of free elections, with free expression of political choice between candidates of political parties. For such elections guarantee that there can be no possibility of stifling freedom of speech, or freedom of the press, or freedom of the air, or freedom of worship. These are the eternal principles that are now being threatened by the alliance of dictator nations. Ours is the responsibility of defending these principles that have come to us as our national heritage. Ours is the responsibility of passing them on, not only intact today, but stronger than ever, to all of the generations yet to come. We Americans realize how tenuous would be the existence of our party system, our freedom of elections, our freedom of living, if the doctrines of dictatorship were to prevail. For if they were to prevail, it would not be in Europe alone. The history of nations betrayed during the past year, the history of nations conquered during the past year, should show us, should show the rest of the world, what it means to live in a world organized and ruled by the Gestapo. Let us ask ourselves frankly and fearlessly, how long could we maintain our ancient liberties under these terrible conditions? How soon would we have to accept the doctrine that one must fight fire with fire? How long would it be possible to maintain a semblance of our two-party system with free elections in a Nazi-dominated world? How soon would we decide to imitate Nazism and abandon our two-party system and regiment our people into one party, which would certainly be neither democratic nor republican? Should that evil time comes, we would no longer hold these friendly gatherings, either on Jackson Day or on Lincoln Day. We Americans have already weighed these questions carefully and thoughtfully. We Americans have announced our determination that with all our resources and all our power, we shall help those who block the dictators in their march toward domination of the world. The decision we have reached is not a partisan decision. The leader of the Republican Party himself, Mr. Word, and in action, is showing what patriotic Americans mean by rising above partisanship and rallying to the common cause. And now that the plain people of America have spoken their determination, Republicans and Democrats in the Congress and out of the Congress are patriotically cooperating to make that determination take positive form. The enemies of democracy are now trying by every means to destroy our unity. The chief weapon they now use against us is propaganda. Propaganda that appeals to selfishness. That propaganda comes in ever-increasing quantities, with ever-increasing violence from across the seas. And it is disseminated within our own borders by agents or, equally menacing, by innocent dupes of foreign powers. It is directed against all Americans, Republican and Democratic, farmers and bankers, employers and employees, propagandists, defeatists, and dupes, protected as they are by our fundamental civil liberties, have been preaching and are still preaching the ungodly gospel of fear. They use insinuation and falsehood. They have tried to shatter the confidence of Americans in their government and in one another. We have seen what has happened to the great industrialists of Germany, for example. Industrialists who supported the Nazi movement and then received their reward in Nazi concentration camps or in death. We have seen how the workers of France were betrayed by their so-called champions, the communists. But no matter what communist lips have said, their actions have proved that in their hearts they care nothing for the real rights of free labor. The agents of Nazism and those who unwittingly help them are still trying to play both ends against the middle. They have attempted to exploit the natural love of our people for peace. They have represented themselves as pacifists, when actually they are serving the most brutal warmongers of all time. They have preached peace, peace, in the same way that the devil can speciously quote the scriptures. Of course, the purpose of all this has been to spread terror among us. But the effect of it has been only to fortify our determination. When Abraham Lincoln became president, he had to face the awful reality of a war between the states. On July 4th, 1861, in his first message to the Congress, he presented this vital question: must a government of necessity be too strong for the liberties of its own people, or too weak to maintain its own existence? Lincoln answered that question as Jackson had answered it before, not by words, but by deeds. And America still marches on. We of today have been presented with that same question. We too are answering it by deeds. Our well-considered philosophy for the attainment of peace comes not from weakness, but everlastingly from the courage of America.
You have heard President Franklin D. Roosevelt speaking from the wardroom of the USS Potomac, docked at Port Everglades, Florida. Mr. Roosevelt has just returned from a brief fishing trip in Florida waters. He delivered tonight's address on the occasion of the annual Jackson Day celebrations being held throughout the country under the auspices of the Democratic National Committee.